Welcome back to Arts Alive, the podcast of the St. Pete Catalyst. My name is Bill DeYoung. A happy December, by the way, because we're getting really, really close. And in that spirit, let's welcome our old friend Paul Wilborn to the podcast. Hello, my friend.
Bill, so good to be here. Thanks for having me.
Paul, you are, of course, as everybody knows, we're going to say it anyway, the executive director of the Palladium Theater here in St. Petersburg, Florida, musician, author, bon vivant, terribly funny guy, and married to one of the coolest women in St. Pete, Eugenie Bondurant. Hey there, Eugenie. Paul, lots to talk about today. First of all, congratulations, really, on Florida Hustle. I know we've talked about this a lot, and you were in the podcast maybe 9 months ago, and it was doing really well, but it's still selling. Congratulations on your novel.
Thank you. I'm really pleased with it. That's why I tell everybody, don't quit your day job if you like having some money. Being an author is a good thing. But it's done really well, and it's got a lot of attention around the country, and so I'm pleased with it. And there's a new one that should be out next year. So.
You're working on a new novel. What can you tell us about it?
Best thing about this one, I think I'm a Tampa guy, and Tampa, people have this image of this place of what it is today, but Tampa was the wildest, rawest, most corrupt city probably in the country, and maybe next to New Orleans.
Wild west of the South, was it?
You know, if you want to talk about real stolen elections, if you want to talk about prostitution and fun and gambling
I do.
And all that stuff, you just look at Tampa for the first, 50, 60 years of the 20th century, it was a wild place. And so this book, through the eyes of a mobster, sort of tells that story. Plus, it's a sort of a modern day story, too. It's got two stories at once, so...
So how much of it is based on, real history, real facts?
Well, I mean, it's very well researched, but my main character is a guy named Charlie Wall, who was one of the most famous mobsters, gamblers, really, in Tampa history. And
A real guy.
Yeah. And from an upper-class family who went to the dark side and really, at one point, controlled U.S. senators, governors, the sheriff, everybody. I mean, he literally could swing elections, statewide elections. He had that much power, and he was killed by unknown assailants in 1955 in his home. Well, in my version, Charlie survives to 1955, and he's now in 1985, and he's 85 years old, which is not what he would have been. He'd have been 100, but I made him born in 1900, and he still thinks people want to whack him, and nobody really cares. And so it kind of has fun with that, but I tell his story within the book. My protagonist, the young writer, tells his story, so you get to tell all that juicy Tampa stuff through his eyes.
So, in other words, it's not totally fiction. What do we call that? Historical?
It's a fact-based fantasy.
Book. Yeah, that's called historical comic fiction.
That's right. So you can have a lot of fun and make things up, but it really is based on the real stuff, and you'll have a real feeling. We're not saying anything that nothing outrageous that I say didn't happen. If that makes sense.
Cigar City was your first book, so this coming one will be your third.
Right.
So, does it get easier as time goes on? I got so many ideas now because I've been successful.
It takes about the same amount of time.
No money, of course, but...
Yeah, yeah. A year and a half, and to write one, I have an hour a day and maybe 3 hours on weekends.
Yeah.
So you got to just plug away. But this one came out, and it wasn't the book I set out to write, but it's the one that got written. So
that happens sometimes. Yeah. What are we looking at as far as a time frame?
I think it'd be ready to come out next year. We may go back to St. Pete Press, who have done me great service. May shop it around a little bit because it's got that mobster thing. It's got potential for a little more national distribution. So we'll see.
Very, very cool. I wanted to talk really. I invited you here because I wanted to talk about 2024. Coming up, you've been with the Palladium, I did my research, since 2007?
End of 2007.
Is that right? Najar and I were talking about this the other day. And the Palladium has been incredibly successful. Is that when St. Pete College took it over?
Yeah, I got hired by the college. I was the first executive director when they took it over. And I got to say, it needed a lot of help. There weren't a lot of great shows. I was a highlight of their season. I was doing some cabaret shows there. And the first guy I fired was me. Because I say, if I'm the highlight of your season, you're in deep trouble. I mean, I'm not a bad player. I'm entertaining in my own way. But I've never played a gig for money since then at the Palladium. We moved it to American Stage. But what you know, it was a great concept, and the founders, when they handed it to the college, created an endowment of $5 million that is held by the college foundation. And once we got past the recession, you know, I got there 2008, 2009 happened. By 2010, 11, we really started turning things around. And we've been operating, you know, as a in the black since 2012.
Well, 2024, of course, is the capital campaign is going on, and you've got some renovations in the works. We've talked about this before, but since you were on the podcast, some things have changed. Where are we now in that process, and what's going to happen?
A couple of things. We have secured a great architecture and design team, and we've just been on the phone with them sort of finding out what we can afford and what we can't in this crazy world. and we've also raised about $6 million, most of it from private funds, and we're looking for a mix of public and private.
Yeah.
And so I think I've got a year and a half after this to finish doing that while the plans are being done. And
what are you trying to raise? What's the total?
We're saying 10. We're saying 10, and I think 10's pretty accurate. I mean, we could spend a lot more.
Sure.
But I think 10 will get us where we need to be. And it's a big ask, but I think the community has been very supportive. So, you know, the state gave us $850,000 in this last budget. We expect to get that again.
Well, it's like you say, it's been very successful. I mean, people like to go to the Palladium, you know, and I would say, and I've said it to you before, except for the parking, I enjoy going there quite a bit. So tell us what's going to happen. What does this encompass?
Well, I mean, we're essentially an old church with a stage, and the acoustics are not bad. The seats are from 1925. So our goal is seating, sight lines, and approved acoustics. And
you can't get rid of those pillars in the middle.
Oh, that's in the nightclub. Yeah, those. I don't think so.
Oh, no. That, but I mean, aren't there? It holds the roof up in Huff Hall.
We're not doing anything to touch the historic nature of the building.
Yeah,
we are going to do some new seats. Everybody wants more comfortable seats.
Yeah,
and we're proving the acoustic ways we do things, because when we have an amplified show, it's a very hard room to amplify music in. And acoustic music sounds great.
Yeah.
But we're going to make the stage. It's just going to be a lot more of a functioning performing arts center. And, you know, what I try to remind people, and I think most people know, we're not a standard performing arts center. We build our business around the community. Our mission is to be the affordable community performing arts center. And most of our business is with community partners and community members.
I find one of the things that's so interesting for me is that those side door shows, even with the posts all around the room, sell out all the time. I mean, you have a lot of the same performers who are great, wonderful, mostly local people, and even, you know, touring people who play down there. But I'll go on the site and say, oh, that's interesting. And it'll say, you know, all the tickets are gone. So people must really like that experience too.
You know, that's what put us on the map. And that's really what sort of got me going was early on, we started booking shows in the nightclub, and people started turning out, and nobody was doing jazz. Nobody was doing blues with a ticketed type thing. You could go to a bar.
Yeah.
And so we started doing really high-end jazz and blues, and upstairs we started doing a high-end chamber series. We started doing dance. All these genres were just sitting there available because the big performing arts centers weren't really doing them. And there weren't a lot of smaller ones. There have been a lot more small performing arts centers opened since 27.
Right. But as you say, you know, turning the Palladium now over the next year and a half or whatever into a performing arts center that's more attuned to that acoustically, I think that makes you can compete even more with the other, if that makes sense.
Yeah. We have more business than we know what to do with. And so the mission is really working. I just want to do it better, and I want people to be more comfortable. And you got to kind of keep up with the times. There's a lot of tech and things that change in our business, and we got to keep up.
Let's talk about the next year. Let's talk about the schedule. I'm looking at the schedule, and the very first thing in January is William Levengood's musical, his latest historical musical epic, Gaspar the Musical. And I think Bill told me this is something he started a long time ago, and it kind of got shelved for other projects and things. But this is coming up three or four nights in January.
This is a perfect example of what we try to do.
Yeah.
Bill wrote and with Lee Aline did Web City, which it was when I brought the Palladium back, the first show we produced was Web City. And it did really well for us. And we brought it back, I think, twice more. And one of Bill's he's a great local guy who's got real national talent. And so he came to us and said, if I can raise this amount of money, can we do this show? And so we said, yeah. And he raised the money. And so we're doing a week, and it's a partnership. So everybody gets a little bit of the money and nobody's hard at risk. And so it's going to be great.
Well, I know I told Bill, you know, I mean, we both know that, you know, Jose Gaspar didn't really exist. Right. And he's like, well, we're not going there. You know, it's musical theater, friends. The great Nellie McKay is coming back on the 12th of January. I'm pretty sure I spoke with her last year. And if I didn't, I wanted to.
No, you did. I remember you talking.
Because she's very cool.
She's a wonderful, wacky talent.
Does she play ukulele? She
plays piano and ukulele and sings like a bird.
Yeah.
And has a unique take on, you never know what she's going to do. When Nellie broke in the early 2000s, I think, or maybe even the late 90s, she was on Letterman. She was on all the big shows because she's a massive talent.
Yeah.
But she's so eclectic, they couldn't put her in a box. And so now she kind of does her thing. She tours, plays small rooms like us. And
can I tell you what I remember about Nellie? Yeah. Because on her record, she covered a song from the first Mothers of Invention
album. I know.
Called Hungry Freaks, Daddy.
She did them at the Palladium.
It's the coolest thing. It's like Liz Phair. She sounded like Liz Phair doing Hungry Freaks, Daddy, which is a weird freaking song. And it was great. I was sold.
You just never know what she's going to pull out. And I'm really excited. She's somebody that when I took the job, I said, boy, it'd be great if we could get Nellie. And finally, we've got her. This will be the second time.
Yeah. Hopefully I get to talk to her again. Let's look at the schedule for January. Tell me some other things that, you know, jump out at you.
Well, a couple of things. I mean, sticking with being really local, you know, we've got incredible talent here on the 13th of January. I believe that's the 13th on a Saturday. Mm-hmm. Alex Harris.
Oh, Alex, yeah.
Who's got a record that's charting all over the world right now, is going to bring a night of soul to the Upstairs.
Alex is a great singer. He really is. You know,
Alex does all this wonderful stuff with kids, and I always
He's a nice guy.
He's a nice guy. I say, you know, yeah, it's great that you're really helping the world, but shouldn't you just be on tour? Because you're a great singer. Yeah. And anyway, he's bringing that show, which will be success and be wonderful.
On the 13th.
On the 13th. And then the next Saturday, we're celebrating the 90th birthday of our pal John Lamb, the great Duke Ellington bass player, who's been a mainstay of my jazz world. And that show's going to sell 500, 600 tickets because people love John. And
John is turning 90.
Wow. Put an all-star band together.
Oh, man.
John will play a couple of songs, but he and Nate, first were playing together, Nate Najjar and John were really a thing when I first started.
Yeah.
They're going to do a couple songs. So it's going to be wonderful. And that's really the epitome of who we are. He's going to get the Palladium Jazz Award. We're celebrating a celebration. You know, this community will turn out in his honor. It's just who we're supposed to be.
Well, John Lamb, we should remind people, played with Duke Ellington for several years in the 60s, maybe 50s and 60s or 50s. And John, 90, and John's an amazing cat and a great musician and just loads of fun to talk to. So that's on the 20th of January at the Palladium. Keep talking. What else is coming? I see Willie Porter's coming back. That's cool.
Willie Porter is coming back. And, you know, he's in the nightclub. Seeing these, we've got Bonnie Prince Billy coming to the nightclub, who's just a wonderful singer-songwriter.
I haven't heard that name in a long time.
I know. He's doing an acoustic tour, and we said, yeah.
On the 19th of January.
Yeah, let's do it.
Wow.
And so right before the John Lamb show. So it's really just, we try to pick up things that our audience are going to like. And sometimes it's local, sometimes it's just a great opportunity like a Nellie or Bonnie Prince Billy.
Yeah.
Seeing them in a 180-seat room is just going to be incredible. I'm really excited about that. Our chamber series started in November, but really it kicks off big time in January. And we're go four more concerts through the early in the new year. And if you haven't heard chamber music done at the level that we do it, Jeff Multer is my artistic director.
Oh,
he plays. Yeah. We bring the best chamber musicians from around the world and a lot of locals, and it's just breathtaking music. We do 400 to 500 people on a Wednesday night for chamber music.
One of the things, too, that I wanted to talk about is before we started, you were talking about how some shows at the Palladium are what they call rentals. They're not like part of the Palladium series. So that's another thing that the community can. You were talking about keeping it affordable, how the community can engage the room if you have something. You've got a lot of tribute shows. You say that somebody has booked as a rental. There's a guy called Sal. I can't. Hey, Sal, I can't pronounce your last name. Valentinetti.
Yeah, that's a rental.
Yeah.
But we've, you know, the reason we're attracting a lot of this business is because we got a great crew. But to be the affordable community venue, we quote a single price. So if you're a nonprofit like St. Pete Opera, you pay a nonprofit rate. Mm. And it's guaranteed that rate is what you'll pay. There's no hidden charges. Mm-hmm. No, you know, oh, you used a guy for it, you know, double time in the, that's so you get it for that. And for profit, it's also a guaranteed really low price.
Yeah.
And we're still the best bargain in the community. So a lot of promoters have come up and rented us. And you got to say yes, because it brings us all these new business. I'm not a big tribute show fan, mm-hmm. but you'll get 600, 800 people for sure. A tribute show. They'll buy a lot of beer and wine, and they'll be maybe the first time in the Palladium, and they know how to come back.
It all works. Yeah. It all works.
We do dance with Helen Hansen French and Lauren Sloan.
Who Beacon.
Two, you know, we do it called Beacon Dance, and it's a way for us to address dance without having to hire a really expensive touring company. Again, it fits. Helen, both of them trained at Juilliard. Helen came back here to have a family, and they put together a beautiful series of dance for me that mm-hmm. culminates at Beacon in April, and it involves local choreographers, local dancers.
Helen's been here with Alex Jones.
Jones.
And we talked about dance, and we certainly talked about Beacon. That comes up in April. What's great, I mean, the breadth of things, the Tampa Bay Symphony plays there, and Maestro Sforzini brings the opera right there. The
opera's our biggest client. We build our schedule around the opera schedule. We don't book anything till they get their dates first. Wow. And they build their dates around the Florida Orchestra schedule, because they pick up a lot of their musicians.
Oh, sure.
So we're, you know, local is what we do, and those guys were born at the Palladium. St. Pete Opera was born there.
Well, I want to direct people to mypalladium.com. Why is it
.org?
It's .org. Oh, that's why
you couldn't get it.
That's why it didn't come up before. Mypalladium.org. Why is it My Palladium?
I don't know.
Paul's Palladium.
It should be the Paul's Palladium. We inherited My Palladium, I think, early on. And once you got a name, you don't get rid of it. So that's the way it stayed.
Mypalladium.org. So you pretty much take a couple of weeks off. You're going off to New Orleans or somewhere?
We're actually staying here for Christmas.
Are you?
Yeah, we love it here. My family's here. I'm from Tampa. Why leave Florida in December? I mean, I can think of a lot of months when I want to leave Florida, but December is not one of them.
Okay.
So we're here and enjoying it. My wife just shot a film in at the factory, a local indie film. But it's a SAG. It's a full-on SAG-approved film. And so she's having fun. She's getting work. And
it's all good.
It's a good time.
Well, I'll wish you a Merry Christmas if I don't see you between now and then. And all the best to Eugenie and Paul Wilburn. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Bill, it's great to be here.
Always a pleasure to shoot the breeze with you, my friend. Take care now.